the hope of the nations, that you are the hope of the world. We enter 2015, Lord, and we have hope because we have you. We recognize, though, that so many people don't. They don't know you. And this year, maybe they don't have hope. We want to pray that this year, we as a church worship you in such a way, both here and out in the world, that we worship you in such a way that the world once again starts to have hope. We thank you that your gospel is the hope for every nation and every person in it. We thank you that it is our hope, and we thank you for bringing it to us. Help us to share it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing, shall we? I said, let's sit. Did you think I said that? Because, you all went, huh? Anyway, it's a bit of aerobics there, just for you. Okay, excellent. So this morning we're talking about mission, and we're saying mission is not impossible, it's possible. Mission possible. And 2015 is our opportunity as a church, maybe as never before, to believe that mission is possible, and that God, in his grace and his wisdom, might just use, not the person to your right, look at them, have a quick look at them. Yeah, I mean, how's he going to use them? Let's face it, be honest. But listen, he might use you. He might use you. In fact, if you let him, he will. He will use you. Wouldn't it be great if we get to the end of this year and you say he did? And he has. And we're going to talk about that. So it's a great opportunity for us at the beginning of this year to listen to a couple of people who took that risk and said, is mission possible for me? Could God use me? In different parts of the world, we're very different people. And we're going to catch up with them. And we're also going to think a little bit more locally as well. So we're going to do that. So I'm going to hand over to Sam, who's just going to give you a little bit of a visual reminder of some of the things he got up to last year when mission was possible for him. So over to you, Sam. Use that one. There you go.
Ooh, there we go. Ooh. Yeah. Mission possible, right. If 6 months ago someone had just walked up to me with a weird smirk on their face and said, hey Sam, your mission is possible, wink, I would have said something very offensive. But turns out, I would have been wrong, actually, because and only to convince myself, all I need to do is look at my t-shirt, which, hang on, changed people, changed the world, if you can read that, which is actually true. It looks cheesy, but it is actually true. And So yeah, as a lot of you know, I went to South Africa 6 months ago in July. It was a month-long thing. I went there with Tear Fund to this this little region called KwaZulu-Natal. The township itself is called KwaZulu-Natal. And so it was this little sort of shanty town place. And we got up to a whole load of stuff there. It was an amazing experience. And to give you a little the gist of what I actually got up to, I prepared a little video with its own outro. I'll hand over to that. And see my voice over there.
It is one of our first visits to KwaZulu-Natal, which is a township right next to Durban. Now, for those of you who don't know what townships are, they're basically sort of slums or shanty towns that you found on the outskirts of a lot of South African cities. Now, KwaZulu-Natal was no exception, and it was a particularly poor region of the area that we were in. And the organization we were going there with was kind enough to provide us with a little transport, which we used to get around with, as you're seeing here. And you would think that going to a place like this every day would sort of numb your senses to the kind of buildings and the living conditions that you see every day. But it never does. It really never does. Actually, I'll let my other voiceover describe it from here.
These guys live on a cliff face. And oh my gosh, it's something else in there. I'm not sure if I can show it, but it's... just believe me.
Now, on this particular day, we were handing out food parcels to a lot of the houses in the community. It was something we did quite regularly, actually, sort of every other day, during 4 weeks. And a lot of the scenery there was, well... there wasn't a pavement in sight, basically.
Yeah, I'm careful, don't worry. It's not like there's anywhere to put the waste around here, is there?
No.
We also did quite a bit of helping out with local schools and kids' creches during a few weeks there, and this particular group was kind enough to sing me happy birthday on my 19th. Aww. One of my favourite things to mention to the folks there is that I actually grew up in Somerset, the land of the farmers, allegedly. So this came in handy when we were all asked to do a little bit of community farming. We planted a whole lot of cabbages and tomato plants, leeks, etc. And it was really fun, actually. This particular scene that you're seeing here took literally all day. We had a lot of support from the local staff, but it was a good day. And yes, I also did a very bad farmer's accent. Sorry.
That's what you don't want to do.
That looks like everything.
One of the core elements of our trip there was handing out donations. So things like grain, wheat, even basic hygiene products. So anything we could get our hands on, we just gathered it up and personally sent it out to the townships. It involved a lot of organization, a lot of heavy lifting, and plenty of bumpy van rides.
It's a warehouse, huh? You know, teamwork and all that.
First over there were Matt and Katya, two other volunteers from the UK, doing the exact same thing as me. And I can honestly say that I couldn't have asked for a better team.
Oh, I see. And here we are.
So there you go. That was just a small taste of some of the projects that I got involved with. We also helped out at a holiday camp for kids. We attended a Bible college, painted a police station, organized a school mentoring day, and so many other things that Tear Fund set up for us. And I can safely say that my experience has just completely changed my outlook on the way we live and the stuff that we take for granted every day without knowing it. I admit I was very apprehensive about doing the trip at first, but after just taking a leap of faith and diving into it, I found that I don't regret a minute. So, if any of you are thinking of going overseas for whatever length of time, you know, just for a couple of weeks maybe, then I would urge you to just go for it, because I did, and I came back a different person, really. And So once again, thank you for helping me have this amazing experience, and I wish you all the best of luck for your future. And in keeping with the whole leap of faith thing, there is just one last thing you'll need to say. Oh my. This is going to be fun. Don't worry, I survived. Enjoy the service.
There you have it. Mission is possible. So I'm not asking you to jump off any cliffs or anything like that. Don't actually do that. It was terrifying. But honestly, seriously, the most terrifying things you have to do there, you know, aren't in the form of things like that. You know, it's just a lot of it is, you know, trying to deal with the, you know, just a lot of the sights you see there, you know, trying to keep a hold of yourself as you're going through it. But in even with all those things, you know, I'd say it's definitely worth going over there. You know, like I said there, you know, it's, even if it's only just like a two-week thing, you know, it's definitely worth all the time and effort you put into it. And it's worth helping someone else out as well. And there you go.
That's great. Mission is possible. And you often ask people when they've been on short-term mission, you say, you know, do you ever believe you would have done some of the things you did? And they go, no. But you have to sort of put yourself out there, don't you? And that's when you grow, that's when you learn, that's when things happen, and that's when God uses you, when you're a little bit more dependent on him than you are sat on the sofa at home. That's when God does some amazing stuff. So that was Sam. He went all the way to South Africa. One of the things you discover if you go on mission is that people are very different from you. That's true, isn't it, Sam? They speak different languages, they have different cultures. And one of the things you discover is you don't even have to go abroad to discover that. That within our village there are people who are very, very different from you and I. Some of you are very different from me. And we all come from different backgrounds and different cultures. But it's particularly marked if you go abroad. So I thought we'll have a little quiz for you. And this is what not to do in certain countries, otherwise you get thrown out. Okay, so here you go. And one of the things Paul said was to work out this fact that as ambassadors, what you need to do is learn about the people around you so that you can helpfully speak to them and get rid of all the stuff that might get in the way. And here are some things you shouldn't do in certain places. We're going to see if you can work out what those places are. Here we go. Here we go. All right, wait, in which country, when you give someone a compliment, they may actually spit at you three times? This is true. In which of those countries do you reckon that is true? So if you compliment someone, they spit at you three times, which puts you off giving compliments, I suspect, in that kind of. Any ideas? Give us a vote. Anybody think they might know that one? Iceland, not Iceland. Kenya, not Kenya. Yeah. Turkey, not Turkey. No. Russia. No. You're doing really well. Shall I give it to you? And this is helpful because some of you may go on holiday there. In Greece. If you give someone a compliment and they spit at you, please don't hit them. Because they just do that. There you go. That's what happens in Greece. So it's a weird little culture. Here's another one. Crossing your arms when facing someone is very rude. Where? Any ideas? Crossing your arms while talking to someone. Turkey. Hang on, I've got to look this one up myself. What was that one? That was... Ooh! Did you know that? Oh, that's very good. Amanda's got that one right. It is Turkey. So if you go to Turkey, again, popular holiday destination when you're negotiating for your Turkish carpet, folks. Don't do that. Because they won't like it. There you go. So you've got to watch that one. Here's another one. In what country, talking with your hands in your pocket, I do this a lot, this is bad, talking with your hands in your pockets is rude. If you talk to someone with your hands in your pockets, any ideas? No. No. Not Russia. Not Kenya. Oh, well done, Annie. Annie got it. It is, oh no, sorry, Lithuania. What did I say? Oh, sorry, yes. I'm looking at the wrong slide. It's Lithuania. You may not go to Lithuania, but it is important. Now, this is an interesting one if you're British. Because what do you talk about a lot if you're British?
The weather.
The weather. Okay. It is bad manners to talk about the weather in... Any ideas? Kenya. Kenya, because it's... Yeah, just keep saying Kenya. You'll get one eventually, yeah. Think about it, think about it. Where might the weather just be a bit... Oh, very good. Yeah, well, you nearly got there. You were close. Russia, but it is actually Iceland. I suspect that's probably reasonable, isn't it? Because the weather in Iceland is probably not a lot to talk about. So you don't talk about the weather in Iceland. It's a bit rude. Here's another one. In which country, after every sip of a drink, you need to wipe your mouth? Otherwise, that's considered a bit rude as well. Any ideas? Any ideas? Keep saying Kenya. No. It's a bit like a multiple choice. If I keep putting A down, all the time, I'm going to get some of them right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Any ideas? Not Russia. No. Not Bulgaria. No. Oh, Brazil. We got a few Brazil there. That was correct. In Brazil, if you have a drink, you're supposed to wipe your mouth every time. It's polite to do that. Don't ask me why. But it is. I suppose if you dribble a lot, it's polite to do it anyway. But there you go. Hold on. We won't name any names. Here we go. In which country you only give flowers when someone has died? So in this country, if you went home and gave your wife flowers, she would burst into tears because she assumes someone's died in this country. Not in England, obviously. What was that one? Very. Yes. I'll give you that. There you go. Gentlemen, this is not an excuse in 2015 to never give your wife flowers, all right? It's only in Kenya this applies. There you go. Okay, have we got one more? Yeah, this is another one. And this one I've discovered, because I've been in this place, and I discovered, yeah, it's really confusing. Very good. Did you know that? That's right. In Bulgaria, if you do this, you mean this. And if you mean this, you mean this. Yeah. So they expect you to get it wrong, and then, yeah, and it goes wrong again. Yeah, so you get it wrong even if you get it right, which is great. So, yeah, in Bulgaria, nodding your head up and down means no. It means no. So it's useful to know, isn't it? Here's the last one. Here you go, last one. Keeping your coat on inside when you're visiting someone in this country is very rude because it means that the people you're visiting have a very cold home. And they get very offended about that. Now, this is easy. It's not Kenya. Because it's pretty warm in Kenya. Yeah. Iceland would be... It might be in Iceland as well, but it's definitely in Russia. You take your coat off, otherwise they think you're insulting their home. So you've got to be careful about that. Isn't it interesting that these little things are really helpful if you're going to reach people and talk to people and communicate in a helpful way. So little handy tips for your holidays, but also, who knows, for your short-term service this year. Maybe you'll do something like that. Here's what Paul said, and he said, you know what, I'm grown up in this sort of place with these sort of traditions and habits and culture, but I try and change when I'm with people who aren't like me. I try and be like them so that I don't stop them hearing about Jesus. And this is what he said, even though I'm a free man with no master, I've become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew, so he would have done all the things Jewish people would have done to bring the Jews to Jesus, to Christ. And when I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. Do you try and do that? There's always something you've got in common. I found common ground with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I do everything to spread the good news and share its blessing. And that's true not only for going to Bulgaria or Lithuania, but it's true even in our towns and villages, because people are very different, aren't they, and may not be like you. And try and find some common ground this year. Try and get rid of some barriers. Try and think about what they need so that they can hear the good news about Jesus this year. That'd be really good. We're going to sing a song. It's on the screen. Shall we stand together? And it's a song about reaching out. It's a song about glorifying God wherever we are and whatever we're doing, so that other people can hear about Jesus too. Let's stand, shall we? Take a seat for a moment, and if you're one of those people who is thinking, you know what, short-term service, maybe going somewhere for God this year, maybe taking a risk and putting myself out there with God, dependent on Him, is a young person's game, then you'd be wrong. Because here's someone who but here's someone who retired in 2014, who took retirement in 2014, but still said, I want to go and I want to serve God. Because there is no such thing as retirement where God is concerned. And serving Him is something you do all of your life. So I'm going to hand over to someone who's not quite as young as Sam. Let's just put it that way. This is Adrienne. Come on up, Adrienne. Yeah. The trouble was, I started saying that, and then I realised I was just digging a hole. So I'll sit there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, have you? Oh, bless you. Okay. Excellent. Go for it. Do you want a microphone?
Good morning. Hola, I should say. Me llamo Adriana. In Peru, I was Adriana. I feel a bit of a fraud standing here, actually, because I had a wonderful time in Peru. And mission was something that was sort of there because I was going to missionaries. But I was going to help them rather than the people of the community. Now, I've done the sort of thing that Sam was talking about before. And my trip this time was very different. And as you can see from that very first photograph, it was kind of, you know, a bit of a tourist thing as well. But I was able to see a lot of people doing a lot of good things over there. And it was as a result of being with Scott and Anjanette Williamson, who had been over there for 7 years. And this all came about a few years ago when they came to stay with us one weekend when they were over on furlough, on leave. And I said to them, one day when I retire, I'll come and help you. I'll come and do something with you. And so this had been going on for years. And so I saw them at the beginning of this last year, and they said, well, you'd better be quick because we're coming home for good. And so I went, oh my goodness. Well, in that case, I better stop being a teacher and start doing something else then, because that really was something I wanted to do. And so that was how it came about. I retired in July, and then I was free to go in September. And I spent 6 weeks in Cusco in Peru with them. And that is a picture of the looking Cusco, which is in 11,000 feet above sea level. And that was one of the problems, one of the issues that came about. So I did do all sorts of things, but really it was Scott and Anjanette who are on mission. And so you will see all the sorts. I put a little compilation of slides together, not a video. But it was very uplifting, actually, because at the end of it all, there was quite a lot of encouragement from the people in the church that they had set up. So if I just do... I've never done this before, so where am I pointing it? Hey, okay. So this really was for the children in the church, thinking that we might have quite a few, and we don't seem to have very many this morning, which is just typical. But we just thought it would be a good idea to put Peru on the map, as it were. So where is Peru? Is it in Africa? No. Is it in North America? No. Is it in South America? Yes. Okay, so there's Godstone and there's Peru. And it's 6,000 miles as the crow flies. Now, you cannot get there like that. You have to go quite a long way round to get there. So you have to go, to get to Cusco, you have to go, well, I went via America, and then I went down to Lima, which is their capital, and then across from there to Cusco, which is up in the mountains. When you see the pictures, you won't think it's up in the mountains. Because it's so far up in the mountains, it just looks as if it's up in the hills, because you're in the top of the mountains. And also, it was very dry at that time because the rainy season hadn't started. So why did I go? Well, I went to visit Scott and Anjanette Williamson, who are the BMS missionaries, who've been over there for 7 years. And you'll see more about them in a minute. They had have two children called Jess and Sam. Jess is 11, Sam is now 10, but was 9 then. And they were coming back to come to English schools, which they hadn't done really before. Jess had been in school a little while when she was very young, but Sam was only 3 when they went over there. So he had been brought up in Peru. They were bilingual, and one of the Williamsons' main concerns was that their education was lacking and that they weren't going to be able to pick up on it if they left it much longer. So being an English teacher, I went over and I did some sessions with both of them, mostly with Jess, because she was going into senior school when she comes over here. Actually, they were very good. They were very much up to speed, I think, with what they need to know. So, isn't that working? Oh, there we go. Right, so we also went to a little school that had been planted as a result of the church, and this is Anjanette and myself, she being a Spanish speaker, me being pretty much a non-Spanish speaker. So we did it between us, and that was fun. And then to help the family pack, and also some sightseeing. Okay, so this is the family overlooking rather a beautiful view. It's called the Sacred Valley, and it was part of Peru, and Cusco in particular is very much to do with the Inca civilization, and they were run out of the place by the Spanish in the 1400s, but they had established an amazing civilization and culture. And the Sacred Valley was sacred to them because most of them lived up in the mountains where things don't grow very well, but the Sacred Valley is a long way down, as you can see. That's about 2 miles down there, and everything grows down there. There's a river that runs through there, which actually is a bit of a problem, because when the rains come and when the snows melt on the mountains, it can flood through there. And that was something that Scott and Anjanette did something about when they first arrived, because there were villages that literally got wiped off the map. And I haven't actually included any of that, but if you're interested in any of this stuff, then I can obviously go on for hours. So that's the family, and that's the sort of breadbasket of the area where they grow things. This is me up in Machu Picchu, which is an amazing time. And when we got there, it was completely cloudy, and then suddenly the clouds disappeared, and there was the scene behind me. And it was just amazing. And you go down into that area, and it's a whole village or town, and it was for the hierarchy of the Inca tribes, the chief priests and people like that. But how they ever got there, built it, lived there, didn't fall off the side, kill their children, lose their sheep or their llama or whatever they had, I really don't know, because it's almost precipitous. But it's an amazing thing to do. There were people I was with who had done a four-day trail. They had walked to this place. I didn't. I went by bus and train. I also got to see Lake Titicaca, which I was really amazed by. I didn't think I was going to get there, but there's a whole story involved in that. But it's the highest lake in the world. It's over 12,000 feet above sea level, and it's like a sea. You can't see the other side of it for most of the time. And the other, excuse me, the other side is Bolivia. The country boundary goes between, you know, halfway down the lake. And that is a reed island, and there are still a lot of people who live on reed islands. They are made from 3 meters of reeds, and they crisscross them and weave them together, and they build their homes from reeds and their boats. And Thor Heyerdahl went over there to learn how to build the Kon-Tiki when he went over the Pacific, because they are so good. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And each island, there are 79 islands, in an avenue of them, and each one is anchored to the floor of the lake, and they're locked together as well. And each one is a tribe or a family. In the middle of them, there is a hole, and that is their fishing hole. So they have, you know, ready-made breakfast or dinner or whatever, and then they have trout is the main thing, which is delicious. Anyway, that was that. Okay, so the Williamsons have been there 7 years, and they have been amazing in their planting of the church. They have been amazing because I met a lot of American missionaries who've been there a very long time and have not managed to plant a church. And they have now got a church the size of our church, probably maybe even bigger. In terms of members, it's growing all the time. They are a little bit aware, very aware, that things are going to change now that Scott has gone, because he's very charismatic and larger than life. And the chap who has taken over from him is a very different personality, but really lovely. So they planted a church. Their new Peruvian minister's family, which makes up about a third, I think, of the congregation in the church, but they have actually given over half their home and land to building a school, which you'll see in a minute or two. And so Anjanette helped establish a medical clinic with some American missionaries, and the money that's come in for that has meant that they have got state-of-the-art equipment and facilities now, and it's quite incredible. I went there at the very end of my stay. And they also set up a community center, which was out in the village somewhere, and I didn't actually see that. But anyway, the church is called Iglesia El Puente because the first one was under a bridge. Now, these are not terribly clear, I'm afraid, but I was under a bridge taking the picture. It's now a karaoke shop, or whatever you call it, but that was their first church, and they moved 5 times before they got to that, which is the new one. And the sign is way up in the air, and you can't really get to see it because it's down an alleyway. So you can't see the church from a distance at all. You have to, each end, you know, you park and go down to the church. But inside they've got this lovely backdrop, which now says Iglesia El Puente, which is the church of the bridge. That's the inside of it. It will never probably be finished. You'll probably notice that the ceiling is not complete. They have a wonderful floor, but not a wonderful ceiling, and it probably never will be. But it's functional, it works, and it's absolutely fine. They have two floors that are functioning, and the third floor is ready for development if they want to do that. Scott plays the drums. I know somebody else who does that. And that is the new pastor. His name is Amelka. And his assistant, who is Carla, and they are really lovely people, and they are going to do great things with the church, I'm sure. And that was an alternative Halloween party we hosted for the community. So this is the school, which is looking amazing now. That's their newest building. That's going to be 5 classrooms. That is the way they finish buildings. I'm sure if you've been to any countries away from this country, they will know that that's what they do. They leave it so that if they have the means and the need, they can put another floor on and just build up. And what they've done with this church and with the school as well is to have it so that it can be changed into flats or apartments very easily if it fails at any time. So it can be used in a dual way. That's looking at it from the far left of the first picture. So as you go in, that's the view up the playground to the other classrooms. That's inside one of them. That's the matriarch of the family. She's just lovely. She had sprained her ankle very badly, and she wasn't able to go upstairs, so she just sat and allowed me to take a picture. This is one of the classes I was working with. They're 4 and 5-year-olds. They were absolutely charming. Their teacher is actually the daughter of the person who was the housemaid in the house where I was staying. And she was lovely as well. I just love her. And there's another picture of Anjanette doing the hokey cokey. We tried to teach them things where they could learn things about their, you know, arms and legs and days of the week and all that sort of thing. So this is where Anjanette's been working. The building in the foreground is the old building. The new one is behind it. It doesn't look anything from here, but when you go in, it's amazing. It's quite, that's the area it's in. You can see how poor it is and how much in need of this they will be or were. Those are all the nurses and doctors that Anjanette's been working with, saying goodbye to her. And now you can see the sort of facilities they have in their clinic. They've got an eye hospital. They've got a dental surgery. The eye hospital is actually one where they can resuscitate people if they need to as well. So it's that modern and well equipped. The one on the left, the picture at the bottom left there, is of the pharmacy, and they've got 2 windows. One is for people who can't pay anything for their prescriptions or their medication, and the other one is where they will just go along normally. And so they do, they minister to everybody. Anybody who comes along is given help. So these are just random snaps. These are the famous llama. You can't go to Peru without finding llama. This is what they do with the wool. They actually, I've got this in the wrong order, really. There's a lady weaving with it, with the wool, and this is how they spin it. I don't know if you can see that, but it's a bicycle wheel. And they put it round and round and make their skeins, and then they dye them, and the lady in the middle there is dyeing. She's also doing something else. She's spinning as well, because they have this motto that says, don't be still, don't be idle, and don't tell lies. And so whenever they are doing one thing, they are also doing something else. So she is talking to us. She's dyeing the wool and keeping the fire going for all the different dyes that are being brewed. And she's also spinning at the same time, which is something we've got used to seeing. That is a Cristo Blanco, the white Christ who overlooks Cusco, and that's me and Sam underneath. You can see how big it is there. And that's what he's looking over. And that area is another Inca, what am I trying to say, ruin. And it's actually, it's pronounced sexy woman. That's not what it looks like, but that's how they say it. And it's just outside Cusco. It's the nearest one. That's in Cusco itself. That's one of the temples from a nice little cafe. And that's the house we were in. And just a few more. That's just local scene of the hillside. Now you can see that it doesn't look as if you're in the mountains at all. That's an Inca who was doing his panpipes and blowing through various things like a shell. Yes. They make little crocheted hats and put them on their lambs and then give them to people like me to have their pictures taken. I forgot what one is. What is? Oh, that's just traditional dancing, and they dress up in the most amazing outfits. These are 2 American missionaries who came to make donuts in our kitchen one day to sell in the church the next day, and they took all day making about 150 donuts. It was hilarious, and it was so sticky everywhere for about a week afterwards. That's me looking tall because Peruvian people are very short, and that's Goya, who is our little housemaid, and she and I got on really well. She was lovely. She spoke no English, and my Spanish was virtually the same, and yet we just built up a wonderful relationship. It was brilliant. That's the center, Cusco, the central cathedral. And that is what's happening to the most of the area. It's being taken apart, so the houses are being taken apart and apartments are being built, and that was at the bottom of our garden. And so, yes, that was my trip in a nutshell, but obviously I did loads of other things. And the church were so welcoming and brilliant, and at the end they thanked me for going there, which I thought was, you know, it was just very humbling. But they were very keen for people to know about them and for other people to come out to them, even though Scott and Anjanette are not going to be there anymore. So, you know, we met people from the jungle who are still missionaries out in the jungle, a couple of British girls working out there. And so there's lots of work still going on out in Peru, and it's very needed, very much needed. And, yes, anyway, that's my trip. And I had a whole load of artifacts, but I'm conscious of the time, so I'm going to put them out on a table, and you can just sort of rummage through and have a look and see what sort of things they did. And they make everything themselves. It's just incredible. And whilst they're selling things to you, they're making more things. So, so anyway.
That's great. Thanks, Adrian. Excellent.
I have
Oh, right, yeah. For me? Is this from Peru?
Yes.
Ooh, thank you very much.
Not actually from me. You have to take it out.
I have to take it out.
Yeah.
It's a couple of notes. Okay, go on. And it says, what is that?
Sí, todos somos llamados, llamados. And it means we are all called.
Ah!
Yes, we are all called.
That's what it means. We are all called.
And it says, Dios. And Alex ought to read this. Well, just read it in Spanish. No, just read it,
Spanish. Nice one.
So it actually means...
Yeah. That's God, cheating. You got posted.
You've not me out of what you are doing in this world.
Oh, wow.
So it's all to do with mission.
That's
so
really good.
Actually a present from Scott because...
fantastic.
And I thought, well, it's just so appropriate.
That is great. Thank you very much. I should wear that with pride. That is great. Yeah, leave me the translation. That would be really helpful.
And the bag.
And the bag. Yeah, stick it in there. Okay. I like that. That is, was it God, don't leave me out of what you are doing in this world? Isn't that a great prayer for 2015? I wonder if you're going to pray that this year. I mean, I suspect we've all prayed all sorts of things. Lord, let's have an easier year or a safer year or a better year. But I wonder if the one thing really on your heart is, God, don't leave me out of what you're doing, because that will make it an incredibly exciting year and a very purposeful year. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? That's great stuff. Excellent. Thank you for that. A few notices. I think we have a few notices about things that are going on in the next couple of weeks, one of which is the Bake Off, which is next week, and I'm going to hand over to David, who just wants to mention that.
Yeah, so the Bake Off is next Saturday at 7 o'clock in the church hall out there, so... This is the last advert you're going to get on this, but so please do come along. Also, as Phil's been talking about mission today, actually, in the life of the church, when the church plans its events for the village, this is one of those first events that's kind of for you to bring your friends to. So that's really kind of stage one of our mission to the community, but this is a safe place that you can bring your friends to. There may be grace, but that'll be the only mention of God in the whole thing. It's a safe place, and to come along and just see that you are fun, safe people, and there isn't some sort of cult in this building. So, you know, bring your friends along. That's actually part of why the church does these. But it's also a social event for us as a family to have fun, and that's really what it's all about. It's fun. 7 o'clock in the hall next Saturday. Please be relatively prompt, as we're sort of going to kick off about, you know, fairly soon after that. All the bakers have agreed in advance, so we're going to have 6 contestants baking. Me and Mark Thompson will be comparing. Steve has got his live cam, so we can have close-ups of what's going on Phil's table in particular, as it slowly degenerates. So my table at home is full of ingredients now that we've been buying up, so six of everything. We've got all piled up, ready to go. What are you going to do? You're going to play an important part. First of all, you're just going to come along and enjoy watching what's going on and how people are doing well or otherwise. So just watch the competition as you do on the telly. Secondly, we've got some food-related games going on. So if it does get a bit boring watching someone mix, then we'll switch over and play a game amongst ourselves. We've got a few food-related games. And then finally, your last important role, you're going to be the judges. So at the end, you're going to come up, you're going to have a look, have a prod, have a taste. And then you're going to actually do the judging, so we'll sort of do a very X factor. The people will decide. So that's the plan. Here... in terms of food and drink, we're not serving a meal like we do on some socials, so please have your main meal before you come, but then bring soft drinks or snacks that to sort of share with the people sitting around you. All the details are on the back of the bulletin, but please come 7 o'clock next Saturday. What else happens in January?
Any questions? Sounds good. That's great. Yeah, so come along to that. Again, it's part of our... outreach to folks. It's part of our being fellowship together, so come along to that. That'd be great. Another thing, because we're talking about mission, we have a mission team. We have a team that looks at mission both here in our villages and the surrounding area in Godston and Oxted and Tandridge. And we also, as a team, we think about mission further afield. So just try and encourage folks who are going abroad, who maybe want some funding for short-term service, things like that, and think about the missionary organisations that we as a church together want to support. And that team meets. Now, that team could do with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of help. I'm on it, Amanda's on it, Alex is on it, David and Anna are on it, but we'd love to see some new folks. Somebody asked me the other week, could I join the mission team? And my response was immediately, absolutely yes. And if you're interested in joining the mission team, we're meeting on Monday the 20th of January. Monday the 20th of January. If you want to know more and you want to pop along and you want to get involved in mission in this place in an organised way, is it the 19th? Monday the 19th, not the 20th. Oh, that was close. Okay, it's the Monday, the 19th. Come along to that and just chat to some of us and we'll let you know when and where and all the details. That'd be great. There is also folks you can talk to if you want to talk about mission this year. January is a great time if you're thinking, you know what, I'm going to give a week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever this year to God, I'm going to go and serve him somewhere. If you're thinking about short-term service somewhere, January is a good time to think about it. Now, you're doubly blessed in this place because you have all sorts of people you can talk to. David has been involved for years with Tier Fund and can advise you about what Tier Fund do. David over there just gave the notice. You can ask David. Vic's here this morning, which is a bargain. I didn't know Vic was going to be here this morning. Vic knows all about mission and is the founder of an organisation that does mission around the world in Eastern Europe. Vic would love to talk to you. Have a chat with him. And also, out in the hall, there is a laptop. And on that laptop is a website called Vic Christian Vocations. And they're not a mission organisation. What they do is they tell you about every mission organisation in the UK and where you can work for God for a week, a month, 10 years, or even make a career of working for God somewhere, a calling if you feel that. So it covers all that. It tells you about every Tier Funder on there, BMS are on there. It tells you where, it even categorises them in countries. So you can click on a country and find out who's there, what are they doing, and what do they need? And maybe that would be something you could think about. Great little tool to research where God might be able to use you this year. So Christian Vocations website is out there. Just make a note of it if you want, and then go home and look at it at home. But it's out there, and you can have a look this morning if you want to. That would be really good. Notice from Doug and Joe's group, home group, are not meeting this week, but next week. So Doug and Joe's group meet next week, and the bake-off you've heard about already. Excellent. Okay, we're going to take up an offering, and one of the things we take an offering for is not just for us, it's for others, so that we can do mission and we can encourage others in mission. So we're going to sing a song as we take up our offering this morning. So let's stand together and sing, and we'll take up our offering as we do that. Discover you and discover how wonderful you are. Would fall in love again with you and become sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you that you include us in that whole challenge, that whole privilege. And thank you that you will use us this year if we make ourselves available to you. Wherever we are, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a little video, and I thought I'd show this to you because mission, you know, one of the reasons you don't think mission's possible is you don't think God can use you. You don't think you have what it takes for God to use you to reach out to your family, your friends, or even a stranger three quarters of the way around the world. You don't think God could use you. Now, the apostles, God used them because they were all experts, weren't they? They all knew what they were doing, didn't they? They all knew what Jesus was saying all the time, didn't they? The reality is, they didn't. And the reality is, they found it as scary and as confusing and as odd as you do, going out on mission with Jesus. And I thought I'd show you a little video just to encourage you to say you are no different from them. You are just like they were. And then think what God did with them when they made themselves available to him. So here's a little video, a little bit of fun, just to encourage you. and remind you, you're just like Andrew and Peter, who are in this video. Here you go.
Does he know what time it is?
I don't know. How long has he been talking?
Three days.
Someone should talk to him.
I agree. Somebody should talk to him.
I think someone should talk to him.
I'm not going to talk to him.
Well, I'm not going to talk to him.
I am not going to do it.
Well, I'm sure not going to do it. Sometimes I don't even think he speaks our language. I mean, what if I go up there and he starts talking to me in one of those preamble things again? Because I don't know what he's talking about when he does that. I am completely
parables.
Lost.
Andrew, they're called parables.
Whatever. They don't make any sense. A good measure pressed down and shaken up and running out over the mustard seeds. With the yeast of the Pharisees. What is that supposed to mean? The yeast of the Pharisees.
I have no idea. You know what gets me? When he starts throwing around the numbers. You know how I am with numbers. I have a little problem with numbers. And I think he knows it, too.
Yeah.
He looks at me like I'm supposed to know this stuff. Hey, Peter, 144.
Hey. How about when he draws? You know, somebody asks a great question, everybody's leaning in to see what he'll say, and he's down here doodling in the dirt. It's embarrassing. You know, sometimes I just want to go up there and...
Okay, I will talk to him this time. You have to talk to him next time.
Deal. Fisherman's handshake.
Jesus? Yeah, could we talk to you for a minute? Oh, this won't take long, and then you can just get right back to it. Okay. Oh, yeah, we were just thinking that these folks have been here all day, and it's getting close to supper time, and we thought it might be a good idea for you to send them home so they could get something to eat. Beg your pardon?
What did he say?
He said maybe we should get them something to eat.
Right. There are thousands of people here.
I know.
With what?
With what? We should find something. He says we should find something.
What does it mean?
I think it means we should find something.
Well, it could be another one of those preamble things. He may be trying to tell us something we're not understanding.
It's not a parable. He uses a different tone of voice when he speaks in parables.
Okay. So what? We're supposed to literally find something? I don't have anything.
You go this way. I'll go that way.
Okay.
So, did you get anything?
I got a few things. How about you?
Yeah, well, yeah, about the same.
Yeah.
Well, the baskets are cute, but it's still not much.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we were just out there collecting the food. What did we get?
Well,
there's the couple of fish. There's some bread. Got some mint.
Dum-dum.
Oh! We should bless it now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You want us to pass it out? All of it? No, I didn't think that was very funny either, Lord. Okay, he wants us to make a line. He's going to break it, and then we pass it out.
Well, shouldn't take very long.
No.
Okay, a little line here. Okay. There you go.
All right.
All right. Passing it out.
You need some more? Hey, Andy. We got bread.
We got bread.
Hey, Andy. We got fish.
We got fish.
Hey, keep it going.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Hi, ho.
Hey, ha.
Hi, ho,
ho, ho.
Hey,
ha. Ho, hey, ha. Okay, stop, stop,
what?
Stop.
What?
Tell Jesus, the people are fed up.
I don't think I can say it like that.
Look, just look. Everybody has something.
Lord, we've got enough.
What? What'd he say?
He wants us to pick up the leftovers.
Not even going to ask.
I wouldn't. All right. All done, Lord. How many baskets are there? Oh, good. Numbers. 11.
It's 12.
What?
It's just three in each row, four rows. Just multiply.
12. There's 12, Lord. And what does that mean?
Why can't 12 just be 12?
You know, does everything have to be a teachable moment with this guy?
It's just a number. Hey.
Yeah.
Peter.
What?
We got 12 baskets?
Yes, yes.
There are 12 of us.
That's good.
And there are 12 tribes of Israel.
Good, good, good.
12 and 12. Yes. Oh, Jesus, over here. We got it over here. Yeah. Yeah. You tell him.
Okay, try this one on, Lord.
12 baskets.
There's 12 baskets.
12 of us.
There are 12 of us.
12 tribes of Israel.
And there are 12 tribes of Israel. And what does that mean? Where does he think we're going to get the information to fill in these blanks?
I thought that was a good one. Okay, huddle.
Huddle. We have no idea. What? You want us to get back in the boat?
Are you gonna come with us?
So the reality is, you think about mission, it's impossible. It takes people, you know, 3 years in seminary or in college, and they have to, and you know what? Being a missionary is just going out and telling people what you know about Jesus. And sometimes you're as confused as those guys. Sometimes you don't know all the answers. Sometimes you don't know what the parable of the 10 virgins mean. And you're going, I'm not clear. we had a house group, an advent course, and we were going, well, it could actually mean this, but it could mean, and we were like those guys, we don't know all the answers, but you don't need to know all the answers. All you need to do is one thing. Jesus says, follow me. And if you follow him, things start to happen. Trust me. And that's all we need to do. And is it easy? No. Does it get confusing sometimes? Yes. Is it scary? Definitely. But it's never boring. And God always works. When you're out on a limb with him, he always does things. He always acts. And he always comes through. You may not see it straight away, but he always works. Mission Possible, 2015. Can God use you? Absolutely. Question is, will you let him? You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to know everything. You are just like those 12 guys. That's all he needs. That's all he needs. We're going to close with a song. Far and near, hear the call, it says, to worship him. And that's our job, isn't it? Whether it be in Costa's over in Caterham, whether it be down our street, whether it be in our school, whether it be in our place of work or our office, whether it be in Peru or South Africa, the call is worship him. And by worshipping him yourself, you'll lead others to do the same. So let's stand and sing, shall we? Father, we want to thank you. This is a new year. This is a chance for us to do things that we've never done before. This is a chance to do things with you. Not in our own strength, Lord, because we know you've said, without me, you can't do anything. But with you, anything is possible. And especially mission, especially helping the world to hear about you. Lord, at the beginning of this year, would you help us to answer one question? The question is this: where am I called to be your witness? Would you help each person in this room have an answer for that at the beginning of this year? Whether that be a friend, or a family member, or a place of work, or a neighbourhood, or even a place around the globe, would you help each one of us to have an answer to that question? Where, Lord, do you need us to be a witness right now? Lord, would you answer that prayer this year? And then, as we step out, as we follow you, would you do all the things that we can't? We ask that in Jesus' wonderful name, and for the sake of the kingdom of God in our lives, in this place, and around the world. We ask it in his name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Don't forget, there's a laptop out there. There's a few people in here. If you want to talk to them, now is a good time to think and ask those questions.